Lawrence, I did give our audience a little bit of your background, but it is very extensive relative to the topic we're discussing. You are obviously one of the foremost national experts. So tell us a little bit more about yourself.
My experience in the protection arena, specifically protecting dignitaries, extends back to my beginning with my beginning career with the Secret Service in 1974. I spent 20 years in that agency. And then in 1994, I retired and went into a private consultancy businesses and endeavors. So the sum and substance of this is we're looking at 50 years of experience, specifically with dealing with threats, and importantly, how these things start and how they sort of manifest themselves and then some of the aftermath. In my early career, I did a lot of investigations. I also did a lot of threat investigations dealing with dangerous people. And then I went to our training academy and developed a curricula for protection, namely fourth shift training, mandatory physical fitness program with medical screening protocol and a stress management program, in addition to operational protection and investigative endeavors and policy. Upon my retirement, I went into business as a sole proprietor, candidly. Then I started working with a number of consultancies that did exactly what I do, basically understanding evolving threats, how to mitigate or prevent them, and then how to craft more effective countermeasures, and then how to continue that process throughout, because as we all know, threats are evolving. You can't have a 10-item list and say we've got it covered. It is evolving in some cases by the hour. So that is essentially what I do. Passionate about it, and I believe that we need to learn much more about this and stay focused on it. We tend to get a little lackadaisical. I've been very blessed with all the consultancies, the mentoring, and also the colleagues I've had. So I'm interested in sharing this information with your audience.
As we take a look back now at what happened here with former President Donald Trump, the assassination attempt in Butler, there have now been a number of congressional hearings. There are investigations all over the place. The former head of the Secret Service has resigned. What is the current status of the investigation?
The current status of the investigation is ongoing. But because of conspicuous silence, if you will, by the Secret Service in terms of specifics, and also by the FBI, we are kind of in limbo. We're waiting for more specificity. We're waiting for more results of presumably unfettered objective investigations. And I'm glad you brought that up because I'm concerned that because of this silence, other ideas, other potential theories, and in some cases even conspiracy theories, seem to get more credence. Because you know how it is, when there's a vacuum of information, there are other people and things that fill that void. And that's a dangerous thing. We want to make sure we get the facts out as they are. And that's my purpose here today. I would like to set the record straight and urge reforms. But we can't do that unless we have objective information. What I'll be commenting on is what I've seen, what my sources have told me, and then blend that through a filter of 50 years of experience, not only in the private sector, but the public sector. And I would note one other thing. In the past 20 years, at any rate, I've been very involved with training responders, emergency responders, emergency management folks, police, fire, and the military, on this very topic. How can we get ahead of this? After 9/11, the mandate from the government was we need to be more proactive. We need to be putting a lot more energy into preventive measures. And that doesn't mean siloed. That means as a team. So that's the sum and substance of what I've been doing. I've taught literally 10,000 different folks in those categories I just mentioned.
A lot of us are astounded by the fact that this attempted assassin was so close to the president on a building within line of sight. Talk a little bit about some of the missteps that occurred that allowed this situation to even occur.
I've looked at this carefully because as it happens, I've done about 200 advances, lead advances for the White House and also for other heads of state across the planet. And of course, before I was assigned those roles, I did sites, much like the site you're seeing at Butler and other sites, smaller, larger. Initially, I was giving everyone the benefit of the doubt, but after studying the videos, listening to the commentary, particularly the commentary from the responders in the locale, the public video, and some of my sources, and some of the whistleblower information that Senator Grassley has compiled, I have to conclude that it was basically a flagrant disregard of basic standard operational procedures. Either that, or it's a profound lack of understanding of protective protocols and how they need to be applied. I can't soften that any more than I just explained to you. And I'll tell you why, because there is a very specific schedule, a very specific algorithm that is followed and should be followed when you conduct an advance, whether it's a sitting presidential advance, a major candidate, a foreign dignitary, or even some of the private sector folks that I've assisted and trained their protection cadre, and that would include Oprah Winfrey, Michael Jordan, and other heads of state in a civilian capacity, to include major events like the World War II Memorial and other organizations like Harvard, NASCAR, GW University, and a number of others that I've been involved with, to do just that. Look at their security plan, their strategy, deduce vulnerabilities, and then offer recommendations to shore up those vulnerabilities. All the discussion and all the readings, and I read most of them, I've listened intently to all the discussion. And I would have to offer right off the bat, conspicuously absent from this discussion is the fact that there is a legal and statutory basis for the Secret Service to conduct protection. Basic Title 18 United States Code 3056 basically addresses the investigative and protective authority and the specific duties the Secret Service has. Now, for candidate nominee protectees, and that would be anyone that's a candidate, a declared candidate, the candidate nominee protection has specific language in that same Title 18 USC 3056, but it's a subset, parenthesis A, parenthesis 7. And in that, it specifically references criteria and protection duties that need to be applied vis-a-vis a presidential protective security advance. Now, I think it's important to mention that you hear a lot of discussion, at least initially, by the former director, the current director, and others, that they abdicated, or shall I say, they assigned the responsibility of protection to that outer perimeter. Candidly, that's simply heresy. Is simply not true. If you look at this statute and look at history, every bit of that is the responsibility of the Secret Service, even though they've defined a perimeter based on geography, logistics, whatever the case may be. That does not absolve their responsibility beyond their arbitrary security perimeter, namely the rooftop of the AGR building. That is clearly within the protective purview and responsibility of the Secret Service. And the attempt to abdicate that is just heresy. It's just not even in the same universe. That I don't know what book they're reading, but that is simply not tenable, period. Just not. And ask anyone that's done this at the level that I have, and there's many others of my colleagues, they would tell you the same thing. This is simply basically passing the buck in a very irresponsible and negligent way. There's just no way you can abdicate that. So I want to get that out there because I can give you a couple of examples very quickly. Let's suppose someone from Pittsburgh is driving down and is arrested by the police for speeding, and on the way, say prior to the rally, they find a gun in the car, and they find notes about or maps about Butler rally, and maybe even notes, I want to kill him, whatever. Just because that particular arrest took place 40 miles away or 30 miles away does not abdicate the responsibility of the Secret Service to act on it. They can't know everything, but if they have knowledge, they are required. It's not an option. They are required to act quickly. When we were younger agents on the duty in a field office, if there was a threat, even a veiled threat, and you were on the duty and it was 3 a.m., you have to be rolling within 10 minutes. You have to move, and you have to go investigate it, talk to the police, talk to the person, whatever the case may be. That was required in my era. So to try to abdicate arbitrary security lines where your protective purview begins and ends is just simply false.
We have been talking with Lawrence Cunningham, who is a security consultant with Essential Security Strategies. He was career Secret Service and has been talking to us about the impact of the Trump assassination attempt. And, of course, the investigations will be ongoing. Lawrence, thank you for taking time to be with us.
You're welcome. Thank you.